told Sandy I'd be around 11 o'clock, so it's not too bad.
Well done, well done. Cool. Thank you. I'll stand up here. Make sure I don't have my head. Good morning, everyone. Just say, as I do every time, you guys looked fabulous today. It's always great to be up here talking to you, and I always look forward to doing this. So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Sandy. Quite often I'm downstairs because I'm one of the leaders of the children's ministry along with my wife Christine. But today we're actually going to be kicking off a new sermon series. So we'll just bring up slide there. The sermon series is going to be called Conversations with God. And quite a lot of what we're going to be doing is we're going to be having a look at Psalm 119 and another couple of places around Scripture, specifically talking about not just how we talk to God, but actually how we hear from God as well. Obviously on our side, we have prayer that we're all really, really good at in this church, although we could all always get better at the discipline around regular prayer and everything else. But obviously that's a very one-way conversation if we're not spending time in God's Word, actually reading it, meditating upon it, and various other things. So we will be looking at Psalm 119. Who's got a good fact about Psalm 119? Anyone know it? It is the longest chapter in the Bible. It's the longest psalm, and it's also the longest chapter in the Bible. And we're not told who wrote this psalm, but most people think it was King David who wrote the psalm. Normally it says a psalm of David, but in this case it doesn't. So, but we can be pretty safe in assuming that David did write it. It's an acrostic. Who knows what an acrostic is? Ooh, tuple. It's a device to help you memorize things. I'm going to show you an acrostic in a second because, but basically, the psalm is broken up into sections of 8 verses each, and at the start of each section is a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So, for example, the first psalm, verse 1 starts off with Aleph, which is the Hebrew for the letter A, I guess, and then where I'm going to be talking from verse 9 starts off with the letter Bet, which is the Hebrew for B, I guess. So you've got Aleph and Bet. Oh, wait a minute. Alphabet comes from that. Cool. There you go. You can take that one away if anyone asks you what you learned today. But it's also, Psalm 119 is exclusively about Scripture. That's what it talks about. Almost the entire psalm is about Scripture. It's about communing with God through Scripture. It's about treasuring God's Word and using it in right ways and living according to God's precepts. So I thought before we leapt into the psalm itself, I thought, and as was the start of the sermon series, we would take a look at some of the stuff that we believe about Scripture, about the Bible, about the Word of God. So I went to the first place that anyone goes today to try and find out what it is that we believe about the Bible. I went to the internet. I actually went to our church website. Ah, cunning thing to do. And gosh, I should have worn my glasses. That's really small. But we believe that the Bible is God's Word. It's God's authority. It contains God's authority. I'm going to come over here, then I can read it. The Bible is God's written revelation to man. It is the inspired Word of God and our authority for our faith, worship, and conduct. And we look at 2 Timothy 3:16-17, one of the very first memory verses that I think I ever learnt as a kid. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So we hold to a very high view on the authority of the Bible. So I told you I was going to give you an acrostic. Here's some of the things that we believe about the Bible. This is getting into kind of some theological stuff here, but I think it's kind of important. So here's the acrostic. The acrostic is SCAN. So the first letter of SCAN is sufficiency. We go back to 2 Timothy. We believe that the Bible is sufficient, that in and of itself and the words it contains, it gives us everything that we need to be able to live godly and righteous lives, and everything that we need to know so that we can be saved through the Lord Jesus Christ. The C is clarity. Now, the interesting thing about this acronym is it used to be SPAN, S-P-A-N, and the P used to stand for perspicuity. Perspicuity means clarity. I thought it was better to go with the C, because then everyone knows what it means. Then Deuteronomy 30 says, "For this commandment that I command you today is not too hard for you, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, 'Who will ascend to heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it?' Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, 'Who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it?' But the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you can do it." Now that we believe that God's saving plan of redemption as described in the Bible is clear and it is easy to understand for any who read it and want to hear it. Now that doesn't mean that every single passage that we come across in the Bible isn't going to be potentially hard to understand. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't go to winter Bible school, that we can learn better how to read our Bibles, how to understand it. But what it does mean is that when it comes to the central beliefs of Christianity and the way that we can be saved through Jesus Christ, it is very clearly explained here. And I can think of countless anecdotal stories of people who have been converted just simply by reading a gospel. The Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Luke. It is all clear. It is in there. The A stands for authority. Psalm 138 verse 2 says, "I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word." God's word stands above all earthly powers and all earthly authorities. As Christians, we turn to the Bible for the final authority on all the things about which it speaks. There are some things it doesn't talk about, but in general, there's certainly in the leadership of this church and for the eldership who lead us, they turn to the authority of the Bible as the final standard by which they judge the decisions that they have made in leading this church. Is that fair to say, Bruce? And then the N is necessity. 1 Corinthians 2:6-13 tells us that God has revealed all of this stuff through the Spirit. Revealed to us through the Spirit these things. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truth to those who are spiritual. We're talking about how important Scripture is, how necessary it is. And it also talks there very clearly about how the Spirit comes alongside us. So as we read the Word, God's Holy Spirit is teaching us and imparting these truths and applying them to ourselves as well. Now Romans 1 tells us that we're all guilty before God because what has been seen and can be known about God has been displayed in the heavens. We call that general revelation. That's basically, here it is, you've got to be mad not to think that there's a God. If you look at the trees, the plants, the sky, the stars and everything else, you should know that. That condemns us and that means we're guilty before God no matter where we stand. But what we have in Scripture is the special revelation that God has given us in His Word. To know how to be saved, the only way is for us to read God's Word, the Bible. We're not going to get it anywhere else. Personal experience and human wisdom cannot teach us the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need God's personal revelation in Scripture if we're going to worship Him rightly, if we're going to believe in Christ and live forever with Him in the new heaven and the new earth. So the Bible is necessary for our growth as Christian people and necessary for our salvation. So that said, those are some of the things that we believe about the Bible, and I preach these words from the Bible. Let me just open now as we move on to Psalm 119 in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it gives us all that we need to live good and godly lives. We thank you that in it, your plan for our salvation is revealed. We thank you that we learn about Jesus through him. And Lord, I pray as I speak these words, I pray I'll be faithful to your word, and your word is truth. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Psalm 119, verses 9-16. This, I found this normally, sometimes you have to really unpack Scripture a little bit as you're preparing to talk about it. This I find is an eminently practical passage from the Psalm. It's kind of, If we're talking about clarity, it's very clear about what it is we should be doing. So here's the first section of it. I couldn't, if I fitted it all onto one slide, it was going to be too small. So there's that Hebrew alphabet, the second letter of the alphabet, bet, or various different ways. I looked it up on Google to find out how to pronounce it correctly, so it must be right. So it says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Every single verse there mentions the scriptures in one way, shape or form. Let me go back. I'll just highlight your word, your commandments, your word, your statutes. The rules of your mouth, your testimonies, your precepts, your ways, your statutes, your word. This whole thing is steeped in God's word and talking about how precious the scriptures are to David as he wrote this. And look at the value that's placed on it. It's a treasure. In your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. And in Proverbs 2 verse 4, we're told to seek out wisdom like silver and search for it as hidden treasures. And where does wisdom come from? Proverbs 2 6 continues, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Where do we find wisdom? In the scriptures. We seek it out because it's one of the most precious and greatest treasures we can possess. And you can see that in this passage from the Psalm. So I want to focus on three particular verses here. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. Because I think that these three in particular have got some fantastic application for us right now in our Christian walk and in our Christian lives. So this first one, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. And I've titled that slide Geigo. Does anyone know what Geigo means? Garbage in, garbage out. Thank you, Bruce. Anyone would think you're an IT person? Fantastic. This is what it's saying. How can a young man keep his way pure? How can a young man not sin? Or how can a person? We're talking about people here, right? How can a young person, how can a person keep their way pure? By guarding it according to your word. By turning to God's word when we're slipping away. So I talked about garbage in, garbage out. So, you know, today we're exposed to so much on TV, movies, literature, computer games that is presenting a view of the world that is completely the opposite of what we believe as Christians. Every single day, it's everywhere, even in the news. If you watch the news now, we're getting a worldview presented to us that clashes with our core and fundamental beliefs as Christians. And every single little bit of it, you know, you're walking that straight path. Every single little bit of this is just nudging you. Just nudging you. And then suddenly you turn around and go, how did I get over here? How did I start thinking this? I need to get back on the path. And the way that we keep ourselves the compass line direct is by focusing on God's word and God's scripture. Sue told me a little story about a friend of hers who I think was very young. She might have been about 9 or 10. She was going to go to the movies to see a movie, and the mum said, why do you want to go and see that rubbish? Well, all my friends are going to see it, mum. Can I not go and see it? Well, you know that we don't believe what the ideas that this movie is conveying. Oh, please, Mum, can I go? Okay, sit down and eat your dinner first. And this lady had prepared a salad, but she had basically, when the young lady sat down to eat it, she saw that it was full of the offcuts of the carrots and the skin of the carrots and the skins of potatoes and various other things. And actually, nowadays, I guess, you might be into eating just that kind of stuff, I suppose. But back when I was a kid, you certainly wouldn't have. And I just thought it was a great illustration. And the mother said, well, if you're going to fill your mind with rubbish, you may as well fill the rest of your body with rubbish as well. Interesting story. You know, Philippians 4:8 should stick with us as well. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And what's most commendable? What's most excellent? What's most worthy of praise? The Lord Jesus Christ. Where do we learn about him? In the scriptures. Focus our minds on that. And I just want to ask you, what are you watching? What are you reading? And in the computer game world now, what are you playing? What are the messages that are being conveyed in what you're watching and what you're reading and what you're playing? I'm not going to get all legal on you and tell you what things you should and shouldn't be watching, but I do want you to be thinking about, especially you young guys and girls, I do want you to be thinking about the stuff that is going into your minds. And some of it, you know, Chris and I have occasionally sat down and gone, we can't watch this program anymore. We shouldn't have even started watching it in the first place, to be perfectly honest. But we've had to say, no, we're not watching that anymore, because it's full of violence, it's full of non-Christian ideas, that really it's just not, it's not edifying for us, it's not growing us in our faith. In fact, if anything, it's nudging us off course. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Hide it. I have stored your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. We talked about treasures and the value of scripture. So what did people do in Israel when they had gold or valuable things that they wanted to keep? There were no banks. There was nowhere to go and put it. So they went and they hid it somewhere. They buried it because it was of such value, they wanted to make sure that it was hidden somewhere safe. And so we get that idea here. I have stored up your word in my heart. I have hidden your word in my heart. Some Bible versions say, I have treasured your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And when we're talking here about heart, we're not just talking, again, the Hebrew writers, we're not just talking about the place where your emotions live, but it's also where your intellect lives as well. I have hidden this word that I might not sin against you. How can we stop ourselves from sinning? It's here. Storing up God's word, meditating on it, reflecting on it, having it there with us all the time. So, scripture memorization is not just for kids. It's a very important part of what we do with Anchor Kids. It's a fantastic opportunity when we do it in a holiday program. We have 5 pieces of scripture that the kids learn over that week, and these are kids from non-Christian backgrounds who don't know anything about the Bible, but they do memorize these, and at some stage it's going to come back to them. Fantastic opportunity, but it is something for us to do still as adults, and it's really, really important. I often wonder, you know, when my in the last few months of my dad's life, he had had a fairly major stroke and was on being fed and being watered through a tube. He could breathe by himself and everything else, but he was mostly asleep. But I've often wondered, where was he in that? And I kind of think, I think through that as an application for myself. If I end up in that state, but I'm still there in some way, and wouldn't it be awful to have to rely on other people to read me God's word because I can't do it for myself anymore? And so to have stored these pieces of scripture in my heart so that I can pull on them, it's just one of those applications that really, really struck me at that time. So there's only one offensive weapon that we have listed in our armory in Ephesians 6, and it's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I'd say praying at all times, because I think prayer and the sword go along together as well. I often think of prayer when you were talking about our armory as that's our communication back to headquarters to say, hey, we need more supplies here, and could you blow up that guy over there for me, please? But together, you know, that sword of the Spirit, that's what we have to defend ourselves and to go on the attack if we have to as well. It's not always a passive thing here. And I take the example, Jesus' example. So Jesus had grown up in the Hebrew environment. We just heard he'd been dedicated. He'd gone through the whole process. Luke tells us that he grew in stature and wisdom over time. So he had spent an awful lot of his time memorizing scripture, because that's what they did, the young men in particular. They would memorize all the books of the Torah, the first five books of scripture, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Amongst other things, he probably would have learned some of the prophets as well. In fact, we know he did, because he's able to quote all of this so easily. And remember, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, tells us in Luke, returned from the Jordan, was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil, and he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. What does Jesus do? He answers him with scripture. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Punch in the side to the devil. And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to him, to you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours. And Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you will serve. Right in the stomach. And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. And here's the interesting thing the devil does here. He's been countered twice with scripture. So how does he come back the third time? He uses scripture. Interesting. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, but lest you strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him, it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Uppercut to the jaw, he's down and out for the count. And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Jesus knew his scripture. My goodness, he knew it. And he was able to pull on those. But not only did he know it, we're coming to this now, not only did he know it, not only had he memorized it, he understood it. He was able to apply it. And when he saw it being used in ways that were wrong, he was able to counter it as well. And so finally we have this idea of meditating on your precepts. I will not just memorize your scripture, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I did a children's ministry course a couple of years ago, and Dr. Michelle Anthony ran the course. She came over from the States, and she told this story about when she was a kid. She would have been about 12. She had to memorize 100 Bible verses. And if she could memorize 100 Bible verses, she would get up in front of the whole church, and she would be able to get a beautiful gift Bible, you know, with her name written in it, and the pastor would recognize her and everything else. So she finally achieved it. She got up, she stood there, and the pastor turned to her and said, what's your favorite verse, Michelle? And she didn't know. She hadn't really got one. So she said, oh, well, I know this one. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Then the pastor asked her, and what does that mean? You're kidding me, she said. You are kidding me. You've made me memorize 100 verses and now you want me to explain what it means? I didn't sign up for that. But it's so important that we understand what we're memorizing. We understand the scriptures that we're reading and we meditate on them. We take a look at them in different angles. We're always very, very careful down at Anchor Kids when we do teach these kids a memory verse. You know, explaining to them, well, what does that mean? We've got some interesting words here. What does that word mean? What does that word mean? What does it mean altogether? How can you apply that? We need to understand what we've committed to memory. We also need to be prepared. Be ready to use those verses that we've learnt. We drill our children at school. Sometimes we do it at Anchor Kids. And we certainly, when we work, the fire alarm goes off. We're not hoping that there's going to be an earthquake. We can be fairly certain there probably will be. We live in Wellington, right? But we are practicing what we should do if this thing actually happens. So we need to look at the verses that we're learning from different points of view. And think about what situations will this help me in? Where can I apply this? You know, I've got a memory verse app. I'll talk about this in a minute. But at the moment, and I can't remember what it is, which doesn't help me. But Romans 12:14-16 says, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight." Where could I use that? Well, we have a tendency to run a few people down at work. Maybe I should be practice that in my head. The next time that happens, the next time that guy comes up to me, "Do you hear what she did there?" Think through that so that verse is ready to pop up when I need it. You know, just practice those ideas. I can say, and also think about the sins. Maybe there's abiding sins that you're really struggling with. What are the signs that's coming up on you? What are the signs of that gossipy heart coming to you? What are the signs of a lustful thought? And being ready for that to pop up. Maybe Job 31 should come into your mind, a lustful thought. How I've made a covenant with my eyes. How can I then gaze upon a virgin? You know, those kind of things to pop up. My kids aren't here, so I can say this, but I've started, because I'm getting older, I don't want to upset them, and this sounds really morbid, but I've started thinking, what happens if I go to the doctor and he gives me that diagnosis? What am I going to do? How am I going to react? And it sounds morbid, but I think it's the earthquake drill. I'm hoping that an earthquake doesn't happen that requires it. I'm hoping that the doctor's not going to give me that diagnosis, but I do not want to be blindsided on the day that that happens. If I can prepare my mind, prepare my heart for all those situations and rest in the rock of Scripture, that's going to help me moving forward. Be an ant. Proverbs 6:8. "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest." John Piper says about this verse, he says, "Memorizing Scripture is not a discipline for its own sake. It is because the Scriptures are a treasure and will be needed before the day is done to help you escape a sinful attitude and live a life that glorifies God." Be an ant. Store up that Scripture. Store it in our minds. Get it ready for the time when you might need it and draw down on it. Finally, a few really practical tools. Seeds Family Worship. If you are a family, or a young family in particular, I cannot commend these guys enough. They are on Spotify and Apple Music as well, so if you have a subscription on Spotify, you can get it for free anyway. You just have to listen to some adverts. They are on there. I'm going to try this. Romans 5:1-5 is called the Suffering Song. And it starts, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And more than that, we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." That's the only way I know that is because I was basically singing that song through my head at the same time. I cannot, if you've got a musical mind, it's a fantastic way to learn Scripture memory. Fighter Verses, that's the app that I use. Really, really cool. It's got a verse every week. It's got quizzes that you can use. You can set the verse as a lock screen. It's got artwork with the verse displayed on it. It's got a blog that links to the verse so that you can look through and think about those practical applications. And then finally, who remembers Navigators? Did you have the topical memory system? Did anyone have it? Christine's aunt had it, and I can't find it. I've lost it somewhere, but it was a really nice leather folder with little cards that you could pull out and everything else. But they've got their website is full of ideas about how to memorize Scripture. So I just cannot commend this enough. It is really, really important. Now I can't read that, so I'm going to go over here. Chuck Swindoll, he is the Chancellor of Dallas Theological Seminary, was the President of Dallas Theological Seminary for a number of years, and he said this: I know of no other single practice in the Christian life that's more rewarding, practically speaking, than memorizing Scripture. That's right. No other single discipline is more useful and rewarding than this. No other single exercise pays greater spiritual dividends. Your prayer life will be strengthened. Your witnessing will be sharper and much more effective. Your counseling will be in demand. Your attitudes and outlook will begin to change. Your mind will become alert and observant. Your confidence and assurance will be enhanced. Your faith will be solidified. It is not just for kids. It's a really important part and a really important discipline for the Christian life. I wish I was better at it, and I'm committing to get better at it, using the tools that we already have available to us. You know, the kids now, right now working on this. It is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Philippians 2:13. Let's start storing this stuff up. Some of you are already extremely good at this. But I just want to commend it to you as a great spiritual discipline and a great way to strengthen your faith and grow in the ways of God. Let me just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for its clarity. We thank you for its authority, its sufficiency, and we recognize that it is necessary for us to live godly lives, to bring pleasure and joy to your heart. Lord, we pray that we will take seriously that discipline of scripture memory, that we will spend time learning it and encouraging each other in doing it as well. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.